Hey everyone, Rob from the Snapcast, and today I'm joined by Tyler.
What's going on, everyone?
And yes, Tyler's been away from Magic for a bit, if you guys have been watching him play on Facebook. If not, go to Facebook, check out Tyler's Snapcast, live streams a lot of different games, Teamfight Tactics, you've been playing a lot of Warzone, anything else?
Super Animal Royale, we got Arena sometimes, and there's some other games too that I throw in.
So yeah, it's a whole bunch of different games, definitely check it out. I would say leading the forefront of us exploring into the whole esports world with you, Gollum, and then a few other newcomers to the Snapcast. But today we're here to talk about Magic because we're in our 12 combos of Christmas, and this episode and next episode we're actually going to be featuring Tyler, and we're going to be discussing Heliod Company, Counters Company, or Devoted Devastation. That's going to be this episode. And then next episode we're going to be covering good old Amulet, one of Tyler's favorite decks, been playing it since the Summer Blue Mages. And we're going to break those down for the beginner. Again, that's what these are. These are just beginner deck techs. We're going to go through how the deck wins, what we look for, and different strengths associated with it. How does that sound?
It sounds good to me.
All right. So let's get started. First, again, we are on Heliod Company, and we're going to do Heliod Company and Devoted Devastation together because they're somewhat the same thing in that we use Collected Company to find a couple of creatures and do an infinite loop of some sort, whether it is infinite life or infinite damage. We're going to cover the Heliod Company one first. This is the one I think Tyler and I both agree. While it is putting up the best numbers, we really don't feel that it is the actual like top deck.
Right.
And why is it you think this one's putting up the top numbers, Tyler?
I think it's just because there's not a deck in the current modern format that deals with infinite life very well. Like, once you gain the infinite life, there's nothing a deck in the current format can do about it.
Correct. Now, this one doesn't have Spike Feeder, the current list we're looking at, so they are at least still being able to deal a lot of damage to the opponent, because their main engines here are Walking Ballista, which is an artifact construct out of Kaladesh. It comes into play with X +1/+1 counters on it. Its casting cost is XX, so if you pay 2, it comes in with 1. And then you can remove a +1/+1 counter and deal 1 damage to any target. Heliod Suncrowned came out of Theros Reborn, states that whenever you gain life, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature or enchantment you control, and then for 1 and a white, another target creature gains lifelink until end of turn. So the setup for this, Tyler, what are we doing?
On turn 3, you want to be playing Heliod, and the following turn, you want to have enough mana to be able to play Walking Ballista for 2, so that'd be 4 mana, and being able to give him lifelink as well with the Heliod ability. That is, I think, 2 mana, a white, and a colorless.
That is correct. Yeah, 1 white, 1 colorless.
And then you just kind of shoot your opponent, and if they're doing things that they're going to do something to you first, you just shoot their board.
Absolutely. So the infinite life there that you're gaining from your Walking Ballista, you are dealing infinite damage too, so that's how you can kill your opponent. Now, there's another creature out there too, Spike Feeder, that does very similar things. You can remove a +1/+1 counter from it to gain 1 life. And whenever you gain life, you put the +1/+1 counter back on it, and you just cycle that back and forth. They've gone away from it again in this list. We have a Luminarch Aspirant in here, where at the beginning of combat, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. So that helps out with your Walking Ballista, so you can drop the Aspirant on turn 2. This is a new card out of Zendikar Rising. Turn 3, your Heliod, and turn 4, your Walking Ballista. And then you're able to win from there.
Yeah, you can win on combat because you play the Walking Ballista for 2, you still have the 2 mana up for Heliod, and then you give it a +1/+1 counter from Luminarch.
Yep. Some mana generators we have in here. We have Noble Hierarch to help us out. We have Giver of Runes in here to provide some protection. And then a few other cards to just help you search, that in the form of like Eldamri's Call, Collected Company, and Ranger Captain of Eos.
What does Skyclave do?
Skyclave Apparition, this is a new card, again, out of Zendikar Rising. It's just a spirit. It's more of a it's a protection spell in this case. So for 1 and 2 white, whenever it enters the battlefield, you may exile up to 1 target non-land, non-token permanent you don't control with CMC 4 or less. So you can use this to help take down something that could be preventing your combo from going off. You can actually hit Leyline of Sanctity with this.
Yeah, that's okay. And you also have Grapter's Cage as well.
Yep. And that's what the sideboard of this deck is tuned towards. So yeah, with Heliod Company, we're able to cast this Collected Company. It's an instant speed spell, so you can do this at the end of your opponent's turn is generally when we want to do this, correct?
Yeah, either that or if you have like most of the combo pieces already on board and you can just win Like, if you're missing the Heliod and you have enough mana to just do it on your turn, you can cast it then too, and hopefully there's one of your four of Heliods in the top six cards.
Yep, because for four mana, three and a green, instant, look at the top six cards of your library, put up to two creatures with converted mana cost three or less from among them onto the battlefield. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. So collect a company, pull out your creatures, and go. Now, big thing here for those that are just starting off with the deck, you don't want to choose Walking Ballista as one of your creatures because it will enter the battlefield as a 0/0 and then immediately die.
Yeah, it's a bad time for everyone involved.
Yeah, if you're playing Magic Online, hopefully you don't do that misclick. If you're playing in person, that's an ultimate feel bad. You'll probably get chastised a little bit for it. But that's really it with this deck. It's pretty straightforward. A good thing about it is if you're just casting the creatures, spells like Force and Negation really don't matter, but you are very soft to Hand Disruption and just targeted creature removal too. It's probably the worst matchups for this deck.
Mono Red Prowess is definitely this deck's worst matchup, I think.
Yeah, it's able to remove your turn one Giver of Ruins or Noble. Now we do have two Auroch champions in this deck in the main, and that's to show the respect for the black and the red removal that is currently out there.
I also think it's because this is another creature you can play on turn two, that on turn four you can play the Ballista and win on with Ballista.
Okay. Yeah, and here's an interesting piece too I haven't seen before. Conclave Mentor. So this is a two drop out of Core 21. If one or more +1/+1 counters be put on target creature or put on a creature you control, that many +1 are put on instead. So that's actually really nice.
I mean, right, I think that's what? There's two Auroch champions, three Conclaves, and then four Luminarch. Yep. Yeah, so I think this is just, what is that? Math's hard. 9 creatures that you play on turn two that help you win on turn four.
Absolutely. So that right there, that's the biggest thing. This is definitely more of a targeted, I would say, more of the all-in variant of this deck to do that infinite damage with Walking Ballista. Now, state-based actions, this is where it's going to get tricky. Say you do have the Auroch champion on field, and you have the Walking Ballista. Walking Ballista hits the field as a 0/0. You got to be careful about where the layers are and how it checks it as a 0/0, or the creature entering the battlefield, you gaining a life, you putting a +1/+1 counter on it. Like, how is all of that going to work then for the combo? And I am not, I would say, knowledgeable enough to actually provide an answer to that question.
There is no chance in for Walking Ballista to enter in as a 0/0.
Okay.
When you gain the life, so you gain the life off of champion, and then Ballista dies, that's where it checks, and Ballista would die.
Okay, so it would go before you're able to put the +1/+1 counter from Heliod onto it.
Correct.
Got it. See, it's all those different layers. What state are you checking at different portions of the phase? And that's where some of these intricacies really come into play and could lead to misplays, so be careful with that. How easy of a deck do you think this is for someone to say sleeve up and take to an FNM? You think it's pretty straightforward? Should they goldfish it a bit?
I think this is a pretty easy deck to play. The only lines you really gotta know is how do you win? How do you get the win on turn four if your hand's good enough, deciding what a mulligan is. And with most combo decks, you either want to have this is a two-piece combo deck, kind of. You either want to have one of those in your starting hand or have a way of finding both of them.
Yeah, and that could be either with the collected companies that we talked about or the Eldamory's Call. Eldamory's Call, we didn't cover this one. It's a two-drop instant, green and white. Search your library for a creature card, reveal it, put it in your hand, then shuffle your library. So if you're able to generate the mana and, you have at least one piece in your Eldamory's Call, that works. If you have Coco, that's even better, or a collected company.
Yeah,
but all in all, it's a really good deck, and it's a little bit more on the expensive end compared to our Oops All Spells. This list right here is running about $670 currently. As we've always discussed, I would say this is a fantastic time for Modern to come in. With Paper Magic not really being played, these prices have gone down significantly. Now, some cards have gone up because of Commander. Thanks, Commander. But we have seen a good drop in some of the prices. Like Fetches right now, I would say, are almost an all-time low.
You also have one of the cheapest fetches out anyway.
Yeah.
Windswept Heath is definitely the cheapest fetch you can buy.
Yep. At $64 for a playset, that's really good for a fetch. Your Horizon Canopies are also pretty cheap too. They're only looking to be about $20 a piece. Those used to, back before all the reprints and that, they were what, $50-$60?
Yep. And then you also have Prismatic Vista in this one. And you can kind of cut that for a different fetch because there might be a cheaper one.
Yeah. just as long as you're able to get green or white. Find out the colors that really matter to you the most. In this list, I think white more than anything because it is more white spell dominant.
It is white spell dominant, so I think I would have to agree with that. There's also more plains in this deck than there are forests.
Yep. All right. Well, do you have anything else to add here for Heliod Company?
No, I don't think so. I definitely prefer this list over the Spike Feeder combo deck, though.
Yeah, because this one definitely just fuels your ability to kill your opponent. Because Infinite Life, like Tyler was saying, that's the biggest thing. How do you beat Infinite Life? Very few cards out there actually can be just, I have 1 billion life, pass turn.
I mean, I can name a couple if you'd like.
Oh, yeah. Laboratory Maniacs 1.
Hive Mind.
Hive Mind, Tyler's premier card here, is another.
Battle of Wits.
Battle of Wits. You got to look for those cards that clearly state, I hate your list, by the way, that clearly stages you win the game. Otherwise, right, you're probably not going to beat Infinite Life unless you can deal infinite damage. But then there's that whole, okay, well, who's gaining, who's, and finally, there just has to be a decision made. And generally, if they have infinite life at instant speed and you have infinite damage at instant speed, it's a stalemate.
Yeah, actually, life wins. So, a judge will rule in favor of life.
Yeah, so find a different way, see if you can't disrupt it. Like, take a piece of their combo out and then be able to go.
Yes, that is the conversation that was had at a table I was next to.
Once, can you remove a piece? Can you change phases? And then can you kill them?
Yeah, so what it basically was it was a Spike Feeder combo. One of them had infinite life with Spike Feeder. The other one was going infinite damage with Walking Ballista. And they were trying to figure out, they asked the judge specifically, how do I win? And you can't really ask that question. You're supposed to just be able to look, oh, I can shoot the Spike Feeder and then he won't be able to gain infinite life anymore. So, but they kind of sat there for a while and the dude with the Walking Ballista actually ended up conceding because he didn't understand how to win.
Yep, and that's it. It's just you have to kill one of the pieces. And in this case, you cannot kill the Heliod because it's indestructible. You have to exile it or kill, right, the Spike Feeder. All right, let's move on to the next one now. Devoted Devastation. This one, Tyler, both you and I had a blast playing this one back in Hogak because we did not care about Hogak.
No, we did not. I actually had a lot of good tournaments with this deck. This isn't the exact list I was using, but they made some cuts. Better cards came out since then, so it kind of makes sense.
Yep. Now you're seeing a lot of your Devoted Devastation lists are running a Companion Lurrus. Yes, even though the Companions got nerfed, Companions can still be a very viable outlet in this game. And Lurrus is very good for this deck because it allows you to bring back your creatures that may have been destroyed because, Vizier of Remedies is a must answer. Same with Devoted Druid, Duskwatch Recruiter. And we'll go through and discuss what each of them does. But grand scheme of things, Tyler, what are we doing and what makes this deck different from Heliod Company?
Well, with this list, you're not getting infinite life. You are completely all in on making infinite mana and making a very, very big Walking Ballista as fast as possible, as early as turn 3. So it's a pretty fun list, I think.
And how are we getting that infinite mana?
So we're going to be playing a Devoted Druid, which is a 1 and a green. For a 0/2 that taps for a green, you put a -1/-1 counter on Devoted Druid, and you untap him. You also have 0 remedies on board, and that says that you are getting, whenever you put a -1/-1 counter on a creature, it would get that many -1. So you would actually just infinitely untap Devoted Druid, tap for green, get a Walking Ballista using Dustwatch Recruiter. That is a 1 and a green for 3 mana. You look at the top 4. Or top 3 cards, and you grab a creature, put it into your hand. You just kind of cycle through until you find Walking Ballista, and I mean, that's just it. You play a really big Walking Ballista.
Yep. You can go really big Walking Ballista, or if your Walking Ballista has already been removed, you had to use it. There's also Finale of Devastation we have.
Yes, we have Finale of Devastation as well, but if that's not in your hand, you're not finding it, sadly.
Right, yeah. And we also have cards like Eldritch Evolution to get us our creatures. Eldritch Evolution is a 3-drop sorcery, 1/2 green. And then as an additional cost, when you cast Eldritch Evolution, you sack a creature. Then you get to search your library for a creature with converted mana cost X or less, where X is 2+ to sacrifice creatures, converted mana cost. Then you get to put that onto the battlefield. So you can use that to search up like a Vizier of Remedies or, you know, Duskwatch Recruiter, whatever it may be. You have your Finale of Devastation, which allows you to search your library or graveyard for a creature with CMC X or less and put it onto the battlefield. Eldarmory's Calls, which we've already discussed. And then a card that, Tyler, you really championed quite a bit was Postmortem Lunge.
Yeah, I played it for quite a bit. I also cut it a few times. So it's a Phyrexian black and colorless, or X, and you return target creature card from your graveyard with Cavern Mana Cost X to the battlefield. It gains haste. You exile at the end step. So this is a card that you strictly want to get either Devoted Druid or Vizier Remedies with. And like, this is for those Jund matchups. This list is playing it as a 4 of. I think I only ever played it as a 2 of because I was a bigger fan of Court of Calling and Collected Company in my lists. So I was playing Ewit and like other cards that helped me get out of the graveyard other than Lurrus. Lurrus I don't think was a card when I was playing this list, so that also kind of affected my decision making with that.
Yeah.
But Postmortal Lunge is a really good card, especially in this meta where like Mono Red Prowess is one of the best decks in the format. You have Jund, you have Green Black, you have
Omnath, Uro. Yeah. You have a lot of just big mana decks, big creature decks out there, which do pack the spells that can provide that targeted removal.
Yep. You only can't beat Path to Exile now.
Yeah. And then you listed two cards here that actually aren't in this deck, Collected Company and Quarter Calling, both of which are really good cards that you can use to search them up. Those are also found in decks that have another one con that's not in here, and that is Shalai, Voice of Plenty.
Yeah, Shalai's a very fun one to play. Again, I think that the reason why people aren't playing it anymore is because everything went to online-based. And Shalai, although she is fantastic, she beats the Mono Red Prowess list by herself. She's a 4-mana, 1-white, and 3-colorless. She has an you have Hexproof, and creatures you control have Hexproof. She has an ability that is double green and 4, and you put 1/+1/+1 counter on each creature you control. She would win games by herself against Mono Red Prowess. She's 4-mana, so she's that sweet spot. She's outside of Coco, which kind of sucks, but I mean, she's just going to win the game anyway, so...
Yep, and the reason why, too, like, it's not really used a lot, and we keep bringing up Magic Online, is players will make you click it out, and having to continuously click on Devoted Druid to tap and untap to generate all this mana, to then put all the +1/+1 counters ever on your creatures, and then to be able to attack with said creatures. I think it took me the one time on stream about 7 minutes to click through everything.
So in the top 8 I had of the Moto PTQ or PPTQ or whatever they called them back then, this was in the Hogak meta. So basically I played against Hogak 6 times in a 9-round tournament. I was 6-0 versus Hogak. I played Tron once, and I played like 2 other variants of decks. And one of the Hogak players, this was in round 8, I believe, because I played Tron in round 9. In round 8, like, whoever won was basically locking up their spot in top 8, and this was game 3. I had 10 minutes left on clock, and he had 5, and I never made him click out. This was just how long the games were going. I played Shalai, and I said, I'm going to make infinite mana, like, in the chat, and he was like, well, click it out, because I'm at 16 life. Well, I had the board to only have to do it like 6 times. I made it a point to do it 20.
Yep.
Because there's like shortcuts you can do on Moto. I'm not going to go into those because those are very in-depth on like how to shortcut through. It's like holding certain buttons down to maintain priority and just kind of keep clicking through things. But that definitely helped me out. I ended the game with 2 minutes, but all my creatures were 20/20s.
Yeah. So it's a fantastic way you can win. But on Magic Online, though, it can be a pain because you might not have been fortunate enough to have 10 minutes left. You could have had 4 minutes left.
Correct.
In a normal paper event, just that statement, you demonstrated a loop. I have infinite mana all of a sudden, or I have 5,000 mana. I will now make my creatures, you know, +5,000 or +1,000 +1,000.
So, yeah. Just remember that in a paper event, like, the judges are going to say there's no such thing as infinite. Just remember that, because that is... It is a true statement.
So pick a value, something astronomically high, and then, okay, all my creatures get, you know, +100/+100, and go to swing.
Combat.
Well, we'll talk that whenever we do our band special. I got a fun story about someone saying they have 1,000 creatures of a type or something, and I was able to kill them because they had all those creatures. But, so, that's Devoted Devastation, then. The latest variant, yep, Running Lurrus of the Dream Den as your companion. Sideboards, again, are more just to protect you from the more aggressive cards or to take care of Grave Hate, because Grave Hate is definitely needed right now with Oops All Spells running around and a few other graveyard decks. that have been more dominant of the format lately, because again, Magic Online, it's a lot easier to do so than on paper playing, say, like control matches or your really grindy ones. It's kind of interesting to see the vast differences in the two metas from online to paper. How would you rate this one on the complexity scale? Would you say this one's also another pretty easy one?
I think this one's also pretty easy, but again, it's just seeing the lines. I would suggest goldfishing this more over the Heliod combo.
Yeah, knowing what creatures to get. And again, it's timing with spells too. And that's one thing I like about with Collected Company in lists like these, is because Collected Company comes in at instant speed. The only instant speed spell we have here is the Eldamri's Call.
Yeah.
And being able to win at it, like if you already had Walking Ballista out, let's say, you can end of turn Collected Company, or in response to something Collected Company, and if you happen to hit the two, well, no, because your Devoted Druid still needs haste.
Your Devoted Druid does still need haste.
Yeah, so you would need a way for that to happen. Or if you already had Devoted Druid on field.
Yeah.
Then
you hit Vizier.
Yeah, then you hit Vizier and something else, and then you'd be able to go. But that was a nice thing I liked about the Collected Companies. You could win at instant speed if you already had your Devoted Druid out without any summoning sickness.
It was definitely a turn. It helped the turn three wins, because you could play Devoted Druid on two and then tap it out.
Yep.
Look at the top six. Maybe see a Vizier, maybe not. And just kind of go from there.
And then quarter calling, what I like about having quarter calling is it is a convoke spell. So with that, you're able to utilize your non-mana creatures to actually generate mana. You can tap them for mana, whether or not they have summoning sickness. Because it's not an ability they gain, it's a casting cost to tap that creature. So if you have three creatures on field, or two creatures on field and three mana up, you're good to go. You just need to be able to have or generate three green mana with it and X. And then you can search your library for a creature with converted mana cost X or less and put it on the battlefield.
Yep.
But that's it for those two decks. Again, these are just your entry level deck techs on them, going through the different combos of Modern. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be talking about Amulet Titan, and that is definitely a more complex deck. It's seen a lot of changes lately, and the some of the more recent ones, I have to thank COVID in a way for protecting it from getting a ban, because I really think that had Paper Magic kept going on throughout the like Aquaria and everything else, one, I think Companions would have been nerfed a lot sooner than what they actually were, and then also I think Titan would have gotten a ban out of the deck.
I don't think it would have been Titan. I think they would have hit other cards.
Yeah, it would be other cards in the deck though.
Yeah,
but we'll talk about that tomorrow. Thanks again everyone for tuning in. Remember, you can find all of our podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, and Spreaker. That is Speaker with an R in it. You can catch us on all of the social media outlets, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, and YouTube. And you can check out our website at www.thesnapcast.com. But that's going to do it for us here. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a fantastic night.